Midway on the turn, it is Capo Kane. Eagle Orb in second. Risk Taking is next in third. Then Shaq Queen King. Royal Number is in fifth. Overtook on the outside in sixth. Three Quarters went in 113. It is still Capo Kane with the lead here. Risk Taking drives up on the outside. Capo Kane, Risk Taking. Eagle Orb is third. A late move from Overtook as they come down for the 16th pole. Here is Risk Taking to take over the lead, a deep stretch. And it will be Risk Taking to win the 141st running of the Withers. Overtook came on to finish second. Pace setting Capo Kane was third.
John Imreal on the call of the Withers. It was all risk-taking. 9-5 favorite got it done that afternoon. He's the 5-2 morning line favorite for tomorrow's Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. Welcome back to Race Day here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Nice enough to be joined now by risk-taking's trainer, Chad Brown. He has two in the Wood Memorial. He's got one in the Bluegrass at Keeneland and Oaks Points on the line in the Gazelle in New York. Two in there as well. Chad, thanks for some time this afternoon.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, so a strong winter for the three-year-old brigade from the Brown Barn. Let's start with risk-taking. Both risk-taking and Crowded Trade, actually, got to take a page out of the Big A's book. They spent the entire winter up here in New York.
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of luck through the years, you know, training in New York, and if you can, you know, catch a winner that's not too bad, it's and then, you know, dodge the weather a little bit here and there. Otherwise, the horses really do well, I feel. And although we had a few big storms come in, we were always able to sort of duck and dive around them, if you will. And the horses have developed nicely, the ones we've left here.
Started on the dirt, went to the turf, and then the blinkers went on. Talk about the stretch out, talk about the blinkers. He's really seemed to turn a corner since the added distance and the blinkers were added to the repertoire.
Yeah, you know, we've always liked this horse. In the summer, he was training pretty good. We're actually legging him up at Monmouth, and I spread a lot of the babies out to different tracks to sort of not have them all mags one basket on one surface and sort of let them get legged up and then, you know, try to run the better ones in New York. And this guy identified himself early on as a horse that showed a lot of ability. And then you put that with his pedigree and his looks, and he gives you some hope. Hey, maybe we have a Derby horse down the road or something. Cause it looks like he'll run long with that classic pedigree and his long legs. And when I started him, he just, you know, I thought I'd give him a sprint and he'd, you know, hit the board or something and then stretch out from there. But he ran last. And I was quite shocked by it. He didn't really show anything, disappointed. So then I shifted him onto the turf thinking, this horse just must be, losing his action when I give him his head. Cause he always did everything easy. And he's bred a bit for the turf, and that didn't work out. And got with me. He said, you know, in his debut, he actually galloped out by everybody. It was just too quick a race for him. And we put some blinkers on him, and we'll run him longer. You know, and then he left town, of course. So I had two guys that, you know, subbed in, really did great, between Jose Lascano and Eric Kinsale. They jumped in the spot with the blinkers going long, and both of them rode him terrific. And the horse really responded well, as you saw.
Yeah, when he broke his maiden, you know, he ran really well the day he broke his maiden. And then talk about the Withers a little bit, because it was a big step up. Capo Kane had won the Jerome. He was facing a little bit of a bigger field and obviously stepping into Graded Stakes Company. Again, not, you know, now knowing that there's been high hopes for this horse since the beginning. Withers, I don't want to say a bit of a coming out party, but last 3/16 of a mile, he really flaunted his stuff.
He really did. Having that mile and eighth maiden under his belt, I think, you know, really gave him some bottom there. And he was able to really take that next step, like you said, and really pleased with it. And, you know, we gave him some time after that race because the next race was one turn. And I just didn't see the logic in cutting him back in distance. You know, so, you know, he's done well since, and he's worked along pretty good. Caught one little storm where he missed a work, but I had so much time to work with, I don't think that will be any sort of excuse. He's been working well, and I'm hopefully he takes the next step again.
Yeah, five works since that win back on February 6th in the Withers. You didn't run risk-taking on the cutback in the Gotham, but you did run Crowded Trade. Crowded Trade, an impressive maiden winner. I don't know if we had any more impressive maiden winners here in the winter at Aqueduct. He ran well first time out, going six furlongs. Looked like a horse that was going to want more ground. That was a tough beat in the Gotham, but, man, you had to have been really thrilled with how he stepped forward from the maiden race to the Gotham.
Yeah, he did. You know, we had Highly Motivated in that race as well. And actually, although I think a lot of Crowded Trade, I was going to separate him, put him in allowance race the same day, and the race didn't go. So we were sort of forced to go in this race and run against each other. Otherwise, I really didn't have a plan B other than that. So we did, and he showed up big time. I mean, he was, you know, it was unfortunate he got beat. And the horse on the inside that he got beat by ran really, really well as well. Also, so it ended up being a good race, and Highly Motivated, you know, had some trouble and was third, and we really like him. So I think that race will prove to be a good race moving forward, those horses out of there. And, you know, we'll see if he can get around two turns.
The fact that he's a little he got to the party a little late, you know, didn't debut until three and lightly raced. I know a couple of people have mentioned it to me, especially after the Gotham. He's going to draw some comparisons, of course, to 2017 Preakness winner Cloud Computing. Does that go through your head at all when it comes to this horse?
Yeah. I'll tell you, right when the day I debuted him, that's what I told the owner, Seth Klarman. You know, that's what he reminded me of when he asked me, you know, how I can expect him to run. He reminds me a lot of him training. You say that just trying to compare horses that you know, and that, of course, Seth would be familiar with. Not in any way saying he's definitely won the Preakness or he can be a Grade 1 winner for that matter, but he reminded me a lot of him and our team. And, you know, from his first two starts, you know, it's quite possible he's on that track to be a horse as good as him, so we'll see.
You just mentioned the team. You always mention your team. You left both of these horses, like I said, in New York this winter. They're going to be two of the three favorites in the major prep in New York for the Kentucky Derby. That takes an awful lot of trust in your team.
Absolutely. You know, my assistant, Dan Stoop, and all the other employees, teammates in New York have really done a good job with those two. And then, of course, we have our a couple of divisions down in Florida, particularly up in Payson Park, where Highly Motivated and Search Results have been. So, you know, so everyone's, you know, working together. And like I said, I've always been, you know, so appreciative and complimentary and rightfully so of everyone who really does all the work. And I think, you know, we've had a quiet winter, not running too much in Florida, waiting for some fresh turf and some bigger purses up north, both in Kentucky and New York. So, you know, I'm proud of my team for also being patient, sticking with it. And they've always, you know, they buy into the program and into the goal, really, by me. And that is, you know, our particular season release from April to December. And that's, you know, what I want them to really focus on. And, you know, it's go time now, so I expect these horses to show up and run their best races.
Let's talk a little bit. We're going to go to Kentucky quick before coming back here for the Gazelle in New York. Highly Motivated. Another one. This one I know you've been high on. We've talked about him numerous times. You've been high on him from day one, took the beat to stablemate Founder in his debut, and then rattled off two very nice victories. His Gotham, little traffic trouble, but I would imagine you're happy with that race, first time beyond 6.5 furlongs, first start in 4 months. You think he got enough out of that to get him around the two turns for the first time in the Bluegrass tomorrow?
You know, I do. He's a horse I wasn't sure about all the way along as far as how far he'll run. I mean, he identified himself as one of our very best dirt colts early on last summer, and he hasn't anything to change my mind about that. What's changed is, you know, how far I think he'll run in a good way. You know, I was a little more reserved about it, and, you know, he's still growing, and, you know, he looked like he had a good burst of speed to run around one turn on the dirt, and he's into mischief, so we'll see. I mean, now it's, being proven that horse can really do anything as a stallion, long, short, you know, dirt, turf, whatever. So, you know, to me now he's grown a bunch. He's just really matured. His mechanics have even improved. So I really don't think a mile and eighth will be any trouble for him, but we will find out tomorrow.
So I got to ask you this, because for people that don't know you, you're a pretty good handicapper. You grew up like we all did, just going to track and hanging out with Patty and Jerry. We all didn't get to hang out with Patty and Jerry. We all have our own Patty and Jerry. That's Chad's mom and dad. There's no speed in this race. In fact, at first call, no horse in the race has ever been in front at the first call. Essential Quality is the only horse that's even been close to a pace, really. He was just a length or so off it in the Breeders' Futurity. Your quote-unquote, highly motivated is quote-unquote the fastest horse in the race, having never went to the lead in his life. When you handicap this race, are you going to go to the lead tomorrow? What are you going to do?
I'm just going to leave it up to Javier. You know, this horse, one thing is he's been a little tardy out of the gate. If I had to say one thing negative about him, his career up to this far. That doesn't have to be him permanently or long-term, but so far he hasn't been the best horse breaking, so that's something to consider, and it'll just see how he breaks. You know, if he breaks really sharp and he finds himself there, I'm fine with it. And if he's not there, you know, someone else is really hell bent on being there. He's not only shown he can rate, but he's shown he can run inside of horses early on in his career. He doesn't mind that at all. So I'm going to let Javier figure that out when the gates open, and hopefully he does break clean and at the very least puts himself in a very forward spot, if not on the lead.
Talking with trainer Chad Brown, he has two of the favorites in the Wood Memorial in Risk Taking and Crowded Trade. Second choice, I would imagine, in the Bluegrass with Highly Motivated, we were just talking about. Back at Aqueduct, quick, Chad, before we let you go, a couple in the Gazelle with points on the line for the Kentucky Oaks. Search Results. Now, she's one you had most of the winter down at the Payson Park headquarters. Big win in her debut. Very nice win against the racetrack in the Busher. I know she was on the lead, but she was in the two-path on a day where the rail was gold. She went after the horse on the lead on the gold rail, and she got the job done. She looks like one that's going to handle a lot more distance. Do you feel like the distance is a non-factor tomorrow?
It's always a question. You know, I mean, she sort of looks like she won't have a problem with it, and she's bred for it. She's definitely bred to get this distance. And when you look at her, I mean, she's pretty big filly. I mean, this horse is, you know, she's every bit of just over 16 hands now. She's big, strong, you know, made the right way to do this. But you got to do it. So so we'll see. And she's training quite well. And, you know, that Aqueduct Mile and Ace, a tough Mile and Ace. It's very demanding. And we're going to see if she can do it. So fingers crossed she can.
You talk about it demanding at the Big A, going the 9 furlongs. Your other entrant, the Grass is Blue, has done that. So I have to mention her, of course, because I want the white pies to continue flowing at Novae in the summer for my man Louis Lazzanaro. She was against that racetrack in the Busher last time. This is going to be her third start with blinkers. The Busanda win, she looked a little confused with the blinkers. What kind of report did Manny Franco give you with the blinkers? Because she's one I think is a little bit of a live long shot in here tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel the same way. She's definitely better around two turns. First time with the blinkers, she was pulling a little bit early and, you know, on and off the bit down the backside. But I thought it really, you know, all in all was a big positive move for her around the two turns. And blinkers have helped her. So, you know, I'm expecting her to take another step forward the way she's been training, and especially around those two turns, like I just said. And I think she's very, very live in this race.
All right, well, live all weekend long. Thanks for some time today. We'll let you get to it. Best of luck, New York, Kentucky tomorrow, and hopefully I'll get to see you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me. You guys take care.